The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Guys, if you're going to be grilling this weekend, maybe you're going to have some people over. Maybe you feel like just cooking up something different. Try Zumos. Whether it's the Boudin, which is the best Boudin I've ever had, whether it's their Party Time sausage, which is my all-time favorite, they've got you covered. Different flavors. It's all awesome stuff. And they've been doing it since 1908. And everybody over in Beaumont and the Golden Triangle knows all about these guys because they've been doing it over there for years. And they've also been in Houston now. And you can get it. You can go to Fiesta and get it. You can go to H-E-B. You can go to Kroger. You can get the Party Time sausage. You can get the Boudin, whichever you want. That Party Time sausage is useful for so many things. If you're grilling, it's perfect. You can use it for breakfast. And it's made from the highest quality ingredients, perfectly blended spices, hickory smoked for 4 hours for a truly genuine Southern taste. It's great for cookouts, whatever you want to use it for. And if you're going to the store, on your way to the store now, go pick some up. Because whether it's the Boudin or the Party Time sausage, it's going to be great. You're going to love it. And it's Zumos. Make sure you get the right ones there, because I don't want you saying, oh, man, that wasn't what I thought. No, Zumos, Zumos. Check it out this weekend. Make it a Zumos weekend, Zumos.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Somebody wrote a story today speculating that it would make sense for the Nationals to trade Bryce Harper to the Astros. I still think they're close enough that one hot run could get them back in it.
They're 5.5 games out of the wild card.
Yeah, and how often do we see teams make up that much? All they got to do is get hot.
Bryce Harper's hitting 216. I mean, is somebody going to give up their best prospects?
Well, no, I don't think you give up your best prospects because it is a rental. But you might give up your fourth best prospect. USA Today, they did their 2018 NFL projections. Would you like to hear who they have in the Super Bowl?
Chargers of San Diego?
It is the Chargers of Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Through the entire time that Philip Rivers has been there, this is probably the best defense that they've had.
Would you like to know who they have in the Super Bowl out of the NFC?
The Eagles?
Do not have the Eagles, no.
Okay,
it's a bird of a different color.
Oh, the Falcons?
They have the Falcons.
I like Atlanta more than I like Green Bay.
I agree with that.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number 3, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a 0, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, there you go. A lot of that, a lot of sports. It's been very sporty.
Very sporty. Today.
And I think we kind of have a sportsy thing to start this segment.
Yeah, we do. And then I have another big story I wanted to get to today, also sportsy. So maybe it's just a sportsy kind of day. Is that going to be okay?
Yeah, I'm feeling very depressed now.
That's what we're getting into, though, the time of year where...
Yeah, once we start getting into some football.
There's some sports to be talked.
Camps going on. There's a lot of news, so yeah.
We can always mix in the Sacha Baron Cohen thing somewhere in the 6 o'clock hour.
I might be up for that.
Well, let's knock out the sports here, and maybe next segment, and then go all non-sports the rest of the way.
Okay.
So how's that sound?
So ESPN did the... We talked yesterday about the best... It was a horrible list... The best 50 college football players of this decade,
yeah,
or of this century.
Baker Mayfield's mom did the list.
Yeah, it was a bad list. Vince Young was number 14 on the list.
Yeah, it was fan-sided, right?
Which is... Yeah,
don't read them, ever.
Yeah, it's a joke. But ESPN put together a list of the best teams of the last 20 years, and it ends up being the last 21 years. Because they have 21 teams.
That's a weird number.
Yeah, but these are all national champions, so they ranked 21 national champions, which is, I guess that's the BCS era. It's 21 years now.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So that does make a little bit of sense. 21-2002 Ohio State team. That was the Maurice Claret team. That's Craig Krenzel. Not a sexy team.
No.
But pretty solid. Number 20 is 06 Florida. That is the Chris Leak-led, Tim Tebow-assisted Florida Gator team. 19-2007 LSU, which... That's a team that I was really shocked that they won that championship. They lost, if you remember, at the end of the season, they lost to Arkansas at home and somehow won the SEC championship, jumped from number 7 to number 2 because everything fell into place.
Yeah.
And then they went on to win a national championship. Pretty wild. But they were able to pull it off. Number 18, the 98 Tennessee Volunteers.
T. Martin.
Number 17, 2003 LSU Tigers. Number 16, 2003 USC Trojans. Which, maybe a little low for a team at the time everyone talked about was like this unstoppable force. But okay. Number 15, 2010 Auburn Tigers.
That feels a little low to me. I thought that was a pretty damn good team.
It was a pretty good team.
Yeah.
It was a... what was that guy's name? The defensive tackle on that team that was so dumb.
Nick Fairley.
That's right. Number 14, the 2014 Ohio State Buckeyes. That's the team that lost their starting quarterback and their backup quarterback and were led by Cardale Jones to a national championship. Pretty solid. That's Tom Herman's last year at Ohio State.
Yep.
Number 13, the 2000 Oklahoma Sooners, which, okay.
Feels a little high to me, but
maybe
okay.
So.
They were good, though.
Number 12, the 2016 Clemson Tigers.
Okay.
That's the Deshaun Watson-led Clemson Tigers.
Feels about right for them.
Number 11, 2017 Alabama. Which,
okay.
A lot of these Alabama teams, you could run them together.
Yeah, they're almost all the same.
There's one that I feel like is egregiously underranked, but we'll get to that in a moment. Number 10, 99, Florida State. That's the Chris Winkie, Peter Warwick Seminoles team.
They were pretty good.
We're pretty good. Sebastian Janikowski on
that team. Anquan Boldin was on that team, too, wasn't he?
I think maybe he was on that team.
Yeah.
And they beat... They beat Mike Vick in the national championship game, Virginia Tech. Number 9, 2009 Alabama. That was Nick Saban's first championship team. That's the Colt McCoy game in the Rose Bowl. Number 8, 2015 Alabama. They were angry having lost in the playoff the year before, and they came out and they put boots to ass.
It was pretty, still McCarron,
pretty damn
right?
good team.
Or was that after McCarron?
I think that's post McCarron.
Okay.
In fact, I'm certain that's post McCarron. Number seven and number six are the two McCarron championships.
Okay.
2012 Alabama is number 7, and 2011 Alabama is number 6. I think both those are a little bit low. Those teams were just loaded with NFL talent.
Yeah.
The 2011 team had 14 players on defense get drafted to the NFL. 14.
That's above average.
The 2012 team, all 11 of their starters on offense made it to the NFL. Those teams are they're underranked here at 6-7. And I know they weren't as sexy because AJ McCarron wasn't Vince Young or Matt Leinart or Cam Newton, but I'm going to go a little low. Here's another one I think is maybe a little low. Well, maybe not. Maybe they're about right. They're in that 4-5 range for me. The 04 USC Trojans. That was the team that everyone was saying was the greatest team ever. And that's the team that Vince Young beat the next season. But everybody talked about them so, like, they were so great at the time. And that's Leinart, Reggie Bush, Lindale White, all those guys were there. And they beat the snot out of Oklahoma in the national championship game. That was a really good team.
That feels low to me. I think that's a top three team. I think I would put them over Well, go ahead and give them the
rest. Well, here's one I feel is high. 2013 Florida State. That's the Jameis Winston-led Florida State team, which I think was good, but I don't know. I mean, every starter on the 2013 Florida State team landed on an NFL roster, though, and Jameis won the Heisman, so
they won every game by double digits, too. They just crushed teams all year.
This one, it's hard for me to argue that they are not number one, and at worst, number two. 2001 Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah, I would have them number one.
I think they're number one for me. The Ken Dorsey argument it makes it interesting. But that team just had so much
Andre
talent.
Andre Johnson, Willis McGahee.
And by the way,
Jeremy Shockey. Yeah.
Ken Dorsey still went to the NFL. I mean, there was a lot of dudes that made the NFL on that team.
Ed Reed.
Yep. Number two, 2008 Florida Gators. And as great of a season as Tebow had, and it was weird because they were a great offense in the SEC, which we just didn't see back then. And it kind of threw everything for a loop. And they had Percy Harvin and Chris Rainey and Jeff Demps. They had a bunch of really – Aaron Hernandez on that team, the murdering Aaron Hernandez.
That was before he was murdery, though.
Right. And, well, that's debatable.
Maybe.
And then they had Carlos Dunlap and Joe Hayden on defense. Yeah. Like, that was a really good team.
They're not better than Miami.
I'm kind of with you on that. And then number one, they have the 2005 Texas Longhorns, It's tough. They're in the discussion. I don't know if I'd have them number one. I think they'd probably be number two for me. But they were
the Longhorns should be number two.
The Longhorns should be number two. Obviously, Vince Young was freakishly great that season, and they had a top 10 defense. Michael Huff on that team, Rod Wright. They had a bunch of All Americans on that team. And played their best game against the best team, and that's a. There's something to be said for that. So that's your list. I'm going to go in no order. My top five, the 2011 and 12 Alabama teams, 04 Trojans, 05 Horns, 01 Hurricanes.
I will go in order and say 01 Hurricanes number one.
Okay.
And then I think I'd have Texas second, SC third, then Alabama.
So same top five. You're going to put yours in order.
Yeah, I wouldn't have Florida State in there.
Mine might be in that same order.
And I wouldn't have Florida in there.
That 08 Florida team was really good. I just have them right outside the top five.
They also lost Ole Miss early in the season, too. So, you know, we're going to talk about the best.
You know what we're going to talk about now? The best? Carbach. That's what we're going to talk about.
That is the best. There's no doubt about that. We don't even have to have a poll for that.
OG Hop Delusion is back all over the damn place. Loaded with Mosaic and Simcoe hops. Little bit of Citra. This is the Imperial IPA that put Carbach on the map for hopheads. And one of many summer beers, seasonal beers that you can get now from Carbach. The Staycation is everywhere. Tasty Waves, which is a summer ale brewed with a little bit of sea salt and some passion fruit. And it's really, really refreshing drinking experience. Love Street, of course, year round, but is great during these summer months. And then the Weekday Warrior Session IPA, the little IPA flavor without all the alcohol of the Hop Delusion. And they've got a lot of great items on their summer menu right now at the restaurant. Hatch Chili Mac and Cheese is probably my favorite of the bunch. Barbecue brisket sandwiches are very good. Smoked chicken salad is nice. And that's in addition to all the great menus they have year round. Music to Your Beer Wednesday, that was last night. If you want to get out and start your weekend a little early, you can do it now. 6:30 p.m., you can start a 3-ish mile run from the brewery. It's the Weekend Warrior Run Club every Thursday at 6:30. There's a one-time fee of $15. You're going to get a dry fit shirt for that. You wear the shirt on the run, you get a free Weekend Warrior afterwards. It's hard to beat. Free beer every week you could get. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more info on all those things, and pick up your favorite Carbach beer today. Or just ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy,
cause I ain't said shit. This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. It's just one of those days when you don't wanna
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back on the Blitz. 713-780, ESPN's your number. I'm not saying I agree with Longhorns at one, but aren't the Horns and ESPN in some kind of business partnership?
It ain't a good one for ESPN.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure ESPN would do anything to get out of that. That was when ESPN was making a lot of decisions that turned out to be very beyond questionable, frankly. And part of it was the Longhorns weren't very good. But then part of it was it wasn't really, even if the football team was good, I mean, it was...
There's too much weird stuff.
It's the swimming and all that crap that nobody cares about.
And wasn't it like the time when like big networks were like the big college networks were getting their own networks too, like the Big Ten network, the Pac-12 network, and then the SEC network with ESPN as well. I think everybody was trying to get their contracts in. Notre Dame had their own thing too.
Yeah. The reality was it was a really brilliant move for the Longhorns.
Oh yeah, from their perspective, absolutely,
it was amazing.
Yeah, they're getting paid a ton of money,
and that'll never happen again.
No.
I don't think it'll happen for any university again.
No.
But, it doesn't mean that it was a good idea for ESPN. Yeah, I saw one of those things the other day of the highest grossing athletic programs.
Yeah.
And Texas was number one. Texas A&M was number two. Hmm. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. When you think about it, like that's
how much longer is that contract for? It was like a $300 million deal, right? It was like $11 million a year or something for. I don't know how long it was supposed to last.
I don't know how long it lasts for. Yeah, I mean it's.
Well, I do think at some point the big contracts for everything are going to dry up because there's just so many other ways for people to consume stuff now.
They're in their seventh year.
Yeah.
So I think it was a 10-year deal, I believe. Let me double check.
And they were getting $30 million a year. Yeah. That's the case.
Wow. Yeah, the top 25. Texas won. Texas brought in...
Nope, 20-year deal.
My bad.
Yeah.
20-year, 295
year.
Mil.
Yeah.
Texas brought in $215 million. Hmm. Which, that's just absurd. Texas A&M right behind them. $212 million. Now here's Texas A&M netted more money because of the $215 million that Texas made. They spent $207 million of it.
Oh wow.
Texas A&M of the $212 million they made, they spent $146 million of it.
Okay, so this isn't really.
This is just how much money the program, like their athletic program,
gross.
brings in.
It's gross money, which isn't. That's not really a great indicator.
I mean, it's nice that
you're bringing in that much money, but if you're only making $8 million off of it.
But I mean, you're also able to spend. When they say spending money, that means they're updating facilities. They're, you know, they're paying.
Yeah, I mean, it's
ridiculous
nice
coaching
much,
salaries.
But it's also, I'd from a business perspective, I'd like to net a little more than that.
So Texas $215 million, A&M $212 million, then it drops to $185 million. That's Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State's always up there.
Right behind them is Michigan, $175 million. Alabama at just under $175 million. Georgia, Oklahoma, Florida is number eight. And there's a trend that these are all basically SEC and Big Ten teams. LSU is number nine. And Auburn is number 10.
I would be curious as to where the second highest Big 12 school would rank, and I'm assuming that's Oklahoma.
It's Oklahoma. I think they were seven.
Okay.
Yeah. Where the third highest one would rank is where it gets interesting.
That's where it would be interesting.
I have no idea.
I would guess it's probably Okie Light.
Yeah, more than likely. I don't know. I don't know I don't know if they'd even. I'm looking. I've got the top 25 list here. I'm trying to scroll down now. It's being really laggy, but I don't. I would guess there might not even be another one in the top 25. It wouldn't shock me if there wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, those two schools, it's the bulk of the money that comes in goes to those two.
Well, that's how it was designed.
Yeah. Yeah, Kentucky makes more than the third highest grossing Big 12 program. Yeah. The fact that Nebraska is 23 on this list makes me think there's not going to be another Big 12 team, because Nebraska was the number three team in the Big 12 when they were there. Well, after A&M left.
Actually, number 27 is West Virginia.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So that's the – which I guess makes sense. But then all the way down to Kansas at 36.
And that ain't coming from the football team.
Nope. Okie Light is 40.
Whew. Yeah, it's a two program conference.
Yeah,
let's face it.
Wow, Connecticut has a higher number than Iowa State, probably because of women's basketball.
Yeah, probably. Things. Hey, did you read Carmelo Anthony's quotes on? I don't know. Carmelo's gotten to be one of those guys where he blames everybody but himself. That's sort of a trend with Carmelo. Everywhere he goes, it's like, it didn't work out because of this, this, or this. Never because of me. He said, at the end of the day, it wasn't a good fit, talking about Oklahoma City. I think last year, and I haven't talked about this before, everything was just so rushed. Going to the team for media day and the day before training camp, them guys already had something in place, and then I come along in the 25th hour like, oh, bleep, Melo, just come on and join us. Like, you can figure it out since you've been around the game for a long time. That's why it was so inconsistent. At times, I had to figure it out on my own rather than somebody over there or people over there helping me.
Well, is it that unbelievable that Russell Westbrook wouldn't be going out of his way to try to figure out how to get more looks for Carmelo?
I mean, they seemed like they wanted those guys there, right? And maybe if he had a little bit more time to adjust, sure, that'd make things different, but I don't think that's enough to explain why he was like career lows and shooting percentage and things like that.
That stuff may have been true at first, but I think he probably quit. I mean, it sure looked like he did. Like, he just didn't care.
I just think it's not I don't know. I don't know that Carmelo Anthony's an impact player anymore.
We'll see. I think I'm interested to see what happens now, especially after reading some of the stuff that we had on SportsMap where they were breaking down how to use him and things like that Solomon was doing. I'd be curious to see if that actually happens, but I don't have high expectations.
Well, I will say, I mean, it's better than doing nothing. Yeah. I mean, it's nice if the Rockets bring him in, that's at least doing something, and it doesn't cost him much at all. So I'm not saying that it's going to hurt them or make them worse. I just don't know that it's going to have the impact that some people are hoping it will.
To me, it's just a low-risk, medium-reward move.
That's kind of what I see. I still think if they bring in Carmelo and they don't get the thing figured out with Capella, they're not going to be that good anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll get Capella back. Man, there's nobody else that's going to be able to sign him, so it's just a matter of, does he take the one-year deal and gamble on himself?
That's what I would do if I were him.
I don't know if I would, man. I mean, the guy's only made like $6 million. If I can get an $80 million deal, I think I'd take it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough.
But, I mean, that's what the market is, so. 713-780-ESPN. Hey, I know you're not a big soccer guy, but Neymar?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I care about him as a soccer player. Finished sixth at the final table of a high roller poker tournament. Yeah.
Look at that.
He went all in with ace 10 offsuit against what turned out to be Jacks. He did get a 10, but that was it.
Was it on the flop?
See, you just spoiled my damn joke.
Come on, John.
Dickweed. I was setting it up. I was setting it up. Say, if you've seen him play, you know his favorite part of poker is the flop.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you. I was setting that up, and you just jumped in and peed all over it.
It would have been good, too. It would have been a funny joke.
It would have been.
Because I wasn't expecting it. I don't know why I didn't put it. Maybe because I'm not a soccer guy, I didn't put it together.
Yeah, but then you would have, and you'd be like, oh. So, yeah.
God, John, that's so Jong. Jump in and seal the punchline. Thanks
that's
a lot,
That's the only
Jong.
Reason I had this on my list today, so that I could set up that joke.
I'm sorry.
I feel like I failed now. As a human being, as a radio host, you know what? I think I should take the rest of the show off now. I don't know where to go from here.
Man centers? Do you feel like he's really lowered your testosterone level?
I feel like he's emasculated me. Yeah. And I can no longer perform.
Well, if you can't perform, maybe you could be low testosterone. And Man Centers, now known as the Y Factor, presented by Man Centers, can help with that. And they can help without giving you those synthetic injections that a lot of people will give you. Man Centers is focusing on enhancing your body's natural ability to produce testosterone. Those synthetic injections can damage fertility, cause dependency, long-term health issues, and shrinkage. And nobody wants shrinkage. Guys, there's three locations for Man Centers. In Houston at Katy Freeway and Campbell in the Memorial area, off 249 in Tomball, and now open in Webster. Get down there. Get yourself that free general male wellness checkup. It's $150 value, and they'll do it for you for free. $0. Call them today to set up your appointment, 832-358-8600, or go to mancenters.com to book your appointment online. They're now booking Saturday appointments. They fill up quickly, so make sure you call today or book your appointments online at mancenters.com. It's the Y Factor, presented by Man Centers, helping men lead better, more fulfilling lives.
Beyond the walls of intelligence, life is defined. I think of crime when I'm in a New York state of mind.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. So did you have another sports thing you wanted to get to, or was that it?
No, that's it. I think I'm over sports now.
Yeah, me too.
Did you see what Brad Powers just tweeted?
No, I did not.
Largest NFL season win total moves so far?
Yeah.
Buffalo Bills under opened at 7.5. It's now 6. Browns over opened at 5. It's now 6.
I might go oppo the people on both of those.
I think I might too. Dolphins over 6 wins, getting a lot of push.
Have that one.
Giants over 6.5. They're now at 7.5.
Wow.
Colts over 6.5 wins. Cardinals under 6.5 wins. I like those last two both.
Yeah. Well, you're still putting a lot on Andrew Luck being healthy, though.
Yeah.
That's the only thing with that one.
Dude had a whole season off. If he's not healthy now, then he just needs to just quit.
Well, that could be a possibility.
Yeah.
Although I still think they can win 3 or 4 games without him. So if you could get him some wins out of him and then he dies, that'd be okay. Well, I've got, I don't know if you saw this, but buddy Eric Sandler wrote this over on Culture Map. B&B Butchers has a...
So good.
I know, but they have a new sandwich coming on the menu next week. A katsu sando, $120.
Oh, boy.
Apparently, it's inspired by a trend in New York and Japan. It features 6 and 7 ounces of authentic Japanese A5 Wagyu beef that's panko crusted and deep fried. It sounds amazing. If I'm going to spend $120 on a sandwich, that's a place I'm going to go do it at because I know I'm going to get my money's worth.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was kind of going through. Eric had a bunch of stuff that I thought was interesting, including he did the top 10 dog-friendly bars for people who take in their dogs, which I'm kind of almost out on that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind it, but
it's like your kids, though. As long as they behave, I'm fine with it.
If everybody takes a dog, then what?
Then it turns into a mess.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for take. I mean, if there's a dog friendly place, I'm fine with it, but
yeah,
I just don't want everybody to bring their dog. That's all.
Well, I just want, it's just like anything else. If the dog's barking and making a scene,
yeah,
you got to take the dog home.
Just like a kid.
Yeah. Just like if your kid's making a scene. Most of these places are by me. That's
Of course.
Like, he's got Truck Yard on there, New Potato, Eighth Wonder, Axelrad. I don't take my dog to any of those places because if there's other dogs, she'll be a real dickweed.
Yeah.
And I don't want to deal with it. And then I'd have to take her home. It's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So
And that's the thing. If your dog's bad and you got to go home, then your whole
you've wasted it. All right, John, do you have this Sacha Baron Cohen thing? I wanted to get to this before the show was over. But basically, this Georgia lawmaker had to resign because of some things he said. And basically, Sacha Baron Cohen was doing his Who is America bit. And this Republican state rep, Jason Spencer from Georgia, thought he was in anti-terrorism training with an Israeli military expert. And apparently he responded not in such a good way.
I do not know whether this is a woman or a man with an explosive. We pretend to be a Chinese tourist because the Chinese always taking selfie. Okay, convince him or her that you are Chinese. Go.
Konnichiwa, Red Dragon, Beijing, Hong Kong. I see them in Hong Kong. The sushi. When I said, "Oh, I see the Red Dragon," because I'm not senior. Oh, do you speak Chinese? Ho Chi Minh City. Oh no, no, so none of that. Thank you, thank you. Red Dragon chopstick. Sushi, sushi. Oh no, I see you now.
Good. Let's look at the picture. He's not a terrorist. Because of who you are, you could be the victim of kidnapping by ISIS. You have 2 seconds to attract attention. How do you attract attention?
Well, you start screaming, take your clothes off.
In America, there is one forbidden word. It is the N-word. Now, I am going to be the terrorist. You have 3 seconds to attract attention. Go! Are you crazy? The N-word is noonie, not this word. This word is disgusting.
You kind of trapped him a little bit with that. But
of course he trapped him.
You can't do that.
I'm okay with people getting trapped like that.
Yeah, I am too.
Like, if you're that stupid, I mean. Yeah.
Well, you got 4 of them in.
Yeah.
There's that.
Well.
But he did finally resign today after a lot of pressure, which can't blame him.
No.
The there's so much other stuff to this story. He kept saying that, you know, first he said he was going to remain in office until January because he lost his primary, so he was going out anyway. But he was trying to basically get taxpayer paid health insurance for life if he made it to January.
Sorry, bud.
Yep.
You ain't gonna make it.
He is considering suing the show's producers who took advantage of my fears that I would be attacked.
Attacked?
Attacked by?
By terrorists?
Yep. Okay. I'm not gonna scream that, I can tell you that, if I'm being attacked.
And what I didn't play, because it's not really made for radio, is at the end of that thing, he basically pulls his pants down, bare ass, and runs it into Sacha Baron Cohen, because Sacha Baron Cohen tells him that terrorists are afraid of homosexuals.
Is that true?
I don't know. So he pulls his pants down.
Can you bare ask ass. Can you ask a terrorist?
Do we have any on staff?
Do we know any?
No.
Maybe ones that, you know, not active yet, just sort of thinking about it. Do we have any of those on staff?
There's got to be at least a couple.
What about an eco-terrorist? I bet we have an eco-terrorist.
Probably at least one of those.
Yeah. I'm just curious.
I've got a story that's a little out there. Apparently there's a trend where dudes, weird dudes, are injecting their testicles with saline, or at least their scrotum with saline or air, and it's a temporary body modification to make them look like they've got bigger balls.
That's a thing.
Scrotal inflation is now like an actual thing people are doing. They call it edge play, or a fetish. I guess it's a fetish or edge play, depending on what you call it. But yeah, they are injecting their own satchels with saline or air to make them look like they are gigantic. And apparently there's a lot of pressure that comes along with that. They warn that if air gets into a blood vessel, it could interfere with the delivery of nutrients throughout your blood cells. If blood is blocked from reaching the genitals, it can result in death of the skin, known as gangrene. You don't want gangrene of the genitals. It's not going to be good. But I'm going to go overall, this is a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, who wants a bigger scrotum anyway?
Yeah,
it makes the other thing look smaller.
Yeah, you ever heard a chick who's like, yeah, I mean, the penis is okay, but he had really bulbous balls. No,
never heard that.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. I mean, they're disgusting as it is. You want them as unnoticeable as possible.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Hey, guys. Oh, there's just no way to do
there's
this.
There's no good
one. I almost went there. Well, if they're going to do this and participate with someone, they should do it on a bed from Texas Mattress Makers.
Yep.
But that would have been such a stretch that I wouldn't really have been a stretch. I just don't know if it would have been a good...
Stretch, eh?
Yeah. There you go. See, that one was yours. You can take credit for that one. Notice I didn't step on it either. I praised you for it.
I'm sorry.
Guys, it's hot out there. You need a cool bed. Texas Mattress Makers has you covered because you're going to save a bunch of money. And they've got so many great beds to beat the heat. The Dublin Deluxe, the Monte Carlo. And the cool thing is, you know you are going to save money there because you're buying from the factory. They make them right there. They sell them directly to you. So right now, both the Dublin and Monte Carlo queen bed sets, just $649. And I'm telling you, you're going to sleep better. You're going to save a bunch of money, at least 50% guaranteed over what you would pay if you went to a retail store. You're paying a bunch more money. They might even be trying to sell you a mattress that they bought from Texas Mattress Makers because these are the guys who make the best. And Yuval and the gang over there, they know how you sleep, man. They're going to put you on a bed to where you're going to sleep better. You're going to save a bunch of money, and you're going to be doing business with great people. Go visit them today. The original is at 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Or you can visit the new one in Katy, 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy. Texas Mattress Makers is the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. TexasMattressMakers.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Guys, if you got you want to save some money this summer, well, here's a good way to do it. If you've got good credit and you've got some credit card debt, how about this? You can refinance with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. It's an easy way to save from hundreds to thousands of dollars, depending on how much you owe, and lower your interest rate. How about this? LightStream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with AutoPay. And the average credit card interest rate is over 18%. So I'm not really good at math, but I know that that's a lot less than 18%. So you could save a lot of money, and guess what? You could get your funds as soon as the day you apply. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. So say goodbye to high-interest credit cards this summer and start saving with LightStream. How about this? The Blitzers can save even more with an additional interest rate discount on top of LightStream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Fred. LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com for more information.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Guess what? Listen for your chance to win in the name game, where we call two names, and if one of those is your name, you try to be the first caller and the winner of today's prize, a pair of tickets to Local Brews and Local Grooves at the House of Blues. Houston's Ultimate Craft Beer and Music Festival, featuring over 20 local craft breweries, more than 40 beers and rare releases, 10 local bands, DJs, brew-inspired pub food pairings, and more. Tickets range from $15 to $65. Tasting wristbands included in select ticket packages and at the event. You must be 21 and up to win. Yes, we're the show doing the giveaway. We're looking for a Jesse or Dylan to call the show. Be the first caller now at 713-780-3776 to win a pair of tickets to Local Brews and Local Grooves. Jesse or Dylan. Jesse can be a girl, too. Dylan, probably not.
That'd be weird.
A little strange. But you know what? I had about 20 Hollywood-type stories today, but I didn't want to step on anything for Hoffman on Hollywood, so I didn't do any of them.
Well, we didn't get to talk about this. I wanted to talk about this with you so badly, about Roseanne and her coming out and saying that she thought that Valerie Jarrett was white. That's why she said it.
Yeah.
And then she said the only reason she lost her show on ABC is because she voted for Donald Trump. I'm not a genius. I'm not a television executive. But Roseanne's show was about how a family would deal with her voting for Trump when they didn't. I'm pretty sure ABC knew before that she had voted for Trump before they gave her the show, right?
Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
Just throwing that out there. But yeah, she said, "I thought the bitch was white," on her YouTube page earlier in the week.
I don't know if I believe that either. I just think, yeah, I mean, part of her bit has always been to be provocative and controversial, and ABC knew that, and I'm kind of like, you know, all right, it was dumb, but I don't know if you should have lost your show over it.
Yeah.
Unless they were just looking for an excuse to get rid of her.
I think that she was on double secret probation with her Twitter anyway. And, yeah, I don't know what the move. I typically side with if anything's said in comedy, it shouldn't get you fired. Like, if it's said as a joke. And Roseanne's a professional comedian.
And I don't think she's funny.
Saying.
No, that's the thing. But I'm with you. I mean, people are going to say stuff sometimes that they shouldn't, but you're not pushing the envelope if you don't.
You've just transitioned me into another story. You know how people lately have been getting old tweets surfaced, and then people are like, wait a minute, that's not PC now. You can't say that. Well, Sarah Silverman, the latest to be caught in that, a tweet that she sent out in July of 2009... She said, "Hey, is it considered molestation if the child makes the first move? I'm going to need an answer on this quick."
Okay.
Which, that joke is in poor taste.
But it's a lot more poor taste now than it was then, though.
It's pretty clearly a joke. But she said that, I guess people started pulling it up on her, and it's gone sort of viral as well. Someone said, "Was that supposed to be funny?" Because it wasn't. That's okay, doll. Comedy is subjective. I thought it was a funny / dumb tweet 8 years ago when I posted it, which is actually, I mean, yeah, it's been 9 years now. And then she's saying some very odd people are saying I'm a pedo regarding a joke of mine from a time not that long ago when hard, absurd jokes by comedian were acknowledged for what they were. Jokes, not a disingenuous national threat to people fake clutching their pearls whilst ranting the country's too PC. So, do you think her old tweets warrant any backlash?
No, but she shouldn't be surprised because she's been pretty vocal against Trump and a lot of things lately on Twitter that, frankly, I quit following her because she just went too far with some stuff.
Well, it's not much different than what, you know, James Gunn just got fired for, but James Gunn also works for Disney. And right. Sarah Silverman does not.
Yeah, I mean, obviously she's trying to be funny. She's a comedian. That's what she does. Same thing I would have said about Roseanne. I don't think you should, should she be getting roasted for it? No, but she's also kind of brought a lot of this on herself.
And the Last Jedi director, Rian Johnson, recently deleted 20,000 tweets.
Oh, good move. Ooh. Delete them all, bro. Be smart about things.
I'm trying to think if I have any that probably not. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Great job, Jong. Enjoy your day off tomorrow, AJ. Till tomorrow.
Thanks, sir.
Stay sportsy, bitches.